Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us through Ephesians, and coming up, we're learning about the importance of not isolating yourself and comprehending the love of Jesus through the entire body of believers. The message is called Knowing the Love of Christ as we go back to basics.
That we may be able to comprehend what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. The width and length and depth and height of the love of God, that we would know that. Somebody put it like this: God's love is wide enough to encompass all mankind. God loves all people. He loves all people groups. There's no one preferred people group in the sense of ethnicity or culture or anything like that. God loves all the people of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Little children grow up to be adults. God loves them too. God loves everyone. His love is wide enough to encompass all mankind. It's long enough to last for eternity. It's deep enough to reach the most degraded sinner. Do we know that? Do we remember that? Do we realize that? God's love is so deep. Paul's praying that we would know, that we would comprehend the depth of the love of Christ. How deep is his love? Jesus died on that cross for every single person who ever lived or will live, and for every sin they ever committed. There's not a single person that has ever lived that God did not love with a deep, deep, deep love. There's nobody on the planet today, regardless of who they are, regardless of the depth of their depravity and wickedness, there's no one that God doesn't love. And because of his love, Christ died for them. And because of his love, he's desiring to reach them and save them. That's how deep the love of Christ is. There's no one that's too far gone. I was reading last night, I think it was a Twitter by Joel Rosenberg, or took me to his blog or something. But Joel, some of you know who Joel Rosenberg is. He's written much on Israel. He's a Jewish believer. He's very passionate about Israel and the things that are happening there right now. He's keeping close tabs on what's going on in this new struggle between the Israelis and Hamas. And anyway, the thing that he was saying, don't stop praying for these Hamas guys, even the leaders. He said, because I have been all over the Middle East and I have met people and interviewed people who formerly were terrorists with Hamas or Hezbollah or PLO or whatever, and now they're followers of Christ. So he was saying, pray for these guys. Pray that God will reach them. You know, some people would look at them and just say, you know, God should nuke them. God can't save terrorists. They're too wicked. They're too evil. They've perpetrated these horrific acts upon innocent people. But the fact of the matter is, they can be saved because the love of Christ is so deep that it reaches even to the most degraded sinner, and that it's high enough to exalt us ultimately to heaven. I thought that was good. Those are good points. They're true. Each and every one of them are right. But notice his prayer is that we would comprehend, but now here's the key, that we would comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. With all the saints is a key here. You see, I can experience the love of God to some degree as an individual. Of course I can. The love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's an individual experience. God loves me individually. And I can have these experiences of God's love just as a person between me and my Savior. But I experience more of his love when I do it in community with other believers. You see, God has not created this new thing called the church, this whole new community, so that we who are members of it would then isolate ourselves from it. But we do that sometimes, don't we? We isolate. We say, well, I know God loves me and I experience God's love in my room at home when I'm praying and doing my devotions. You should pray, you should do your devotions, and it's wonderful to experience the love of God, but it doesn't stop there. We can only experience the fullness of this love that Paul's talking about it as we do it in community with God's people. Think about just, you know, if you're by yourself, let's just take even God out of the picture for a minute. Just, you know, by yourself, how much love do you experience by yourself? You're just hanging around with yourself. Man, I love myself. This is great. Wow, this is, oh, I just feel so in love. This is wonderful. No, you don't, right? No, you need another person. You need somebody to love you. That's what love is. It's something you experience between other people. Now, yes, of course, we have that with God, but God intends that we have it with each other. And that comprehending the width and the length and the depth and the love of Christ, to know his love in the deepest sense, we've got to do it all together. So I can't isolate myself. Now, we live in an interesting time in history, and you know, there's many wonderful things that we have at our fingertips today with technology. We have the ability to edify ourselves through just, you know, clicking on something. And we can get a great message from the Word of God, from a gifted Bible teacher that's going to strengthen and encourage us. But the downside of it is we could easily end up isolating ourselves from the people of God, because I'm satisfied just listening to my podcast and getting encouraged by my favorite Bible teacher here, but I'm not engaging with other Christians. I'm not in fellowship in the sense that we're praying together and we're building each other up through mutual sharing of the scriptures, or we're telling one another about the things that God's doing in our lives. You see, that's what we're talking about. That has to happen. And if we're missing out on that, then there's a whole dimension of God's love that we're never going to comprehend, because Paul is praying that we would comprehend with all the saints. So there's that component. So don't isolate yourself. You say, look, I'm here. What else do you want? I'm at church. Come on, give me a break. Well, here's what I'm saying. That's good. It's great that you're at church. But, you know, you can isolate yourself even being gathered with the people of God. You can come in and just kind of go off over by yourself and sit there and not talk to anybody and listen to the message and then get up and leave, and you don't have any fellowship. We have to resist that. We have to fight against that. You have to take steps. You have to get engaged. You have to make yourself vulnerable and put yourself out a bit and get with others. So it's possible, even in a setting like this, to still be isolated, but God wants us to come together. He wants us to engage. Lots of people go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week they have no engagement with the people of God. In the context of fellowship, that's where we need to be plugged in to whatever, a Bible study, a community group, whatever, a place where you can get strengthened and built up and edified, because we comprehend these things with all the saints. I was speaking to a friend this past week. He's from Stockholm, Sweden, and he loves Calvary Chapel. He's been here for he's been here occasionally for months at a time over the years. And he's come to really appreciate this church in particular, the ministry of Calvary Chapel. But he doesn't have this back in Sweden. And he was telling me the other day as we were talking, he says, you know, not having the fellowship that I have here at Calvary back home, I've been involved in a lot of other churches. He says, I've seen a lot of things. And he kind of put the spectrum from the charismatic over here all the way over to the really staunchly reformed. And he said this, he said, and you know, I found in each one that there are good things. He said, I prefer the kind of the philosophy and the atmosphere and just the methodology of Calvary Chapel. But I've also found that there are good things in these other churches that I've been to. And he said, and I think it's so important that we don't just dismiss these other groups of Christians because we don't agree with every point, but that we take the good that they have and we get blessed by it. And then we in turn, you know, give something back to them. And as he said that, I just, it resonated with me how true that really is. Sometimes because a person doesn't line up exactly with the way we think or feel about something, or they don't believe it exactly the way we think it ought to be believed, we just sort of dismiss them entirely. Okay, well, they don't agree with me on that, so I don't care about anything they think or have to say. That's a mistake. Because even though you don't agree on that, and perhaps they're actually even wrong, but in another area, they might have something to offer. They might have a real strength that would be a blessing. I received a call on the radio the other day, and a woman asked the question. She said, you know, there's a song that we're singing at our church, and I really love this worship song, and it's really touched my heart. But I heard it came from an emergent church, and I'm wondering if we should sing it anymore. And I said, well, tell me the song. She said, can I do that? I said, yeah, tell me the song. And I actually had already guessed what it was. But it was the song, she said, Feet May Fail. It's the song Oceans. And I said, oh, that's one of the greatest songs currently that's out there. I love that song. And I said, and listen, no, it didn't come out of an emergent church. Does anybody even really know what the emergent church is? Very few people do. There's all kinds of misconceptions about it. But no, it didn't come. It came out of Hillsong. Oh, but Hillsong's charismatic. And they are that. And there are things about Hillsong that I personally don't agree with. It's not my taste. And I think in some areas, they maybe need a little more balance doctrinally. But I'll tell you, the gift that they're giving to the church today is great worship music. That's the area where they are amazingly gifted. And you listen to the melodies, and you hear the songs, and you listen to the biblical content in those songs. Those songs are powerful. You know, I hear people say today, I hear this so often. Oh, you know, the hymns, we need to sing more hymns. And all these new worship songs, they're so trite and trivial, and there's no depth to them. Hey, listen, I don't know what worship songs you're listening to. There certainly are some that are like that, but there are a lot of worship songs today that are so deep and powerful, they transcend the hymns. Now, there's some great hymns, no doubt, and I love many of the hymns, but you know, there's some really cheesy hymns too. There are some hymns I've listened to, I think, what in the world were they thinking? And that melody was horrific. Some hymns that we used to sing, every time we'd start the music, I think we're on like a merry-go-round or something. You know, it just had that. The Bible says sing a new song. If we have to depend on songs from 200 years ago, we're in trouble. If we have to depend on songs from 30 years ago, we're in trouble. We should be being blessed with new music all the time because God's working in people's hearts. And like I'm saying, here's a group that as a group of churches, I don't agree with all of their theological positions on things, but I sure appreciate the gift of music that God's given to them. And he's blessing the church. I don't agree with the reform position on a lot of things, but man, there's some sharp reform guys out there that they hit the nail on some stuff that I appreciate. And I'm thankful for their ministry. I don't agree with every finer theological point with them. But you know, God has this diversity within the family. And we have to recognize we will be poorer if we refuse to accept the blessing that God has given to other parts of the church, we will be poorer, because we can only comprehend the width and the length and the depth and the love of Christ. We can only comprehend it with all the saints together. Everybody's got something to offer. And let's not forget that. We're going to head off tomorrow to England, as you heard, and we're going to go to this festival, and we're going to be with people that are Baptists and Pentecostals and Anglicans and Methodists, and we're going to have a great time worshiping the Lord together. And not everybody's going to agree theologically on some of the things, but we do agree on the main things, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, that he's coming again. You know, those things. The Bible is the word of God. Those are the things. So we have to resist this tendency to divide, which is a lack of love. We have to resist that. I mean, Jesus said that the great evidence of our being his disciples would be our love for one another. That would be the great evidence. He said it. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples. So you see, this is what Paul is praying for. And you think about it, this has been probably, and interestingly, Jesus prayed a similar thing in John 17, but this has been the Spirit, you know, leading them at the time to pray these things. But this has been the area where the church has been so weak and where the church has failed so frequently. It's been in the area of love. So this is the heart of God for us, that we would experience, comprehend in the deepest ways possible the love of Christ. And we do that together as a community of believers. We do that with one another. I think I shared this briefly, but my son and my daughter-in-law and the situation with our granddaughter, Evelyn, Char said to me these words. He said, "Dad, this is the hardest thing I've ever been through, and I would never have asked to go through this, but I have to say that the thing that I've experienced through this is the deep love of God through his people. God's people all over the world praying for them, sending them messages on Instagram or Twitter or texting them or Facebook, or, you know, people taking up collections to help them financially through the rough season. People they don't even know doing this stuff. People from all different denominations and backgrounds. We heard about your baby. Just know that we're praying for you." He said, "We've been overwhelmed by the love of God through the people of God." You see, Paul, remember the context here. He's talking, this is all he's talking about, this whole thing, this mystery. God's bringing everybody together in this one family. And now he says, okay, I need to pray that we all get this. I need to pray that we experience what God intends in bringing all of this together, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Paul is, this is what you call a paradox. Things that seem to contradict, but they don't, because they're spiritual things. So how do you know? He's praying that we would know the love of Christ that you can't know fully. Well, that's the key, fully. It's not that we can't know the love of Christ. Certainly we can, but we can never know it fully or completely. We can never exhaust the love of Christ. You can never come to a place where you have exhausted the love of Christ. There's no more love of Christ that I can experience. You can never come to that place. That's what Paul's praying, that you would comprehend, but you could never exhaust it. So then fourthly and finally, he prays another thing that seems a bit paradoxical, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. How could we who are finite be filled with the infinite? So you see, there's a bit of a paradox there. But yet at the same time, there is that ability to be filled with, or maybe even a better idea is filled unto all the fullness of God. What he's really describing here is the idea of continued growth in the things of the Spirit, continued growth in Christ-likeness. You see, that's where everything's headed. That's where God is moving us to. He's moving us to likeness to Christ. As a Christian, you're on a journey. You're saved. You're not on a journey to see if you're going to make it to heaven. You're already going to make it to heaven because you put your faith and trust in Christ. The journey you're on now is a journey of transformation. It's a journey of conformity. You are being conformed to the image of God's Son. And one day, you're going to look just like Jesus. One day, you will be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, the Bible tells us. So being filled with all the fullness of God, the idea there is that we would be progressing, we would be growing, we would be coming more and more like Jesus. And Jesus, of course, was, among other things, he was the embodiment of God's love. So having prayed these things, he then ends everything with this. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. You see, as Paul's praying these things, it's like he knows that he's the stuff that he's praying for is so magnificent. It's so glorious. It's so great. But now he's assuring us God's able to do it. God can fill you with love. God can strengthen you with love. God can overwhelm you with his love. God can supply love for you that you could never, ever work up on your own. And he can overflow that love from you to others. You know, sometimes we think about the prospect of things ahead of us, things that we don't know, and we think, well, how could I ever handle that? Or how could I deal with the situation if it came up? This God supplies us. When the time comes, he's able to do above and beyond all we could ask or imagine. Can God fill us with this love? Can God create an atmosphere of love among us? Can God give you love for your enemies? Can God give you the ability to love somebody that naturally you could never love? Yes, he can. He can do above and beyond anything we can ask or imagine. God is more than able. The question really is, are we willing? Are we going to yield? Are we going to put ourselves in the place of community with the saints so that this fullness of God's love can work itself in us and through us? That's the question. Are we going to do that? I pray that we will. Don't isolate yourself. You need the people of God. You need the family of God. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need the universal family of God because it's in that context that we will ultimately experience this great, deep love of Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Knowing the Love of Christ, and the resource number is BBE0023. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Forever, I'll hold. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.